Views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Tuesday, welcome back. We made it to the second day of the Monday through Friday work week. A lot of people aren't working anymore. No more jobs. Every time I see these stories of a various type of business going down like a chain, we're closing 438 branches of the Foot Locker or whatever. You think of all the people who are losing their jobs, many of them, male, female, single income earners for a household. And these are big deals. And then the ramifications, it's like a stone in a pond. It ripples all the way out, all the way around 360 degrees. These are big losses, but it's all being done intentionally. It's planned. It was planned long ago. They're taking it down, dear friends, taking it down. And it's not going to go back to the way it used to be. All right. Going to Tennessee now to talk to the queen of Knoxville. Where the hell do you live?
Yeah, that's where I live, Knoxville. Don't tell everybody where I live. They'll be at my door wanting to arrest me.
No. I'm just being serious here. Steve Allen used to say, remember Steve Allen? One of funny people because...
Oh, I know. He was so funny.
The damned NBC used to erase the videotapes of the night before and record over them. They didn't save all of his years of brilliance. One of the greatest losses we've had. Steve Allen used to say, among many funny things, and he'd say, all seriousness aside, and then he'd go on, all seriousness aside, after saying something funny. He was just, and he had Tom Poston, remember Tom Poston,
P-O-S-T-O-N,
and Don Knotts was first on Steve Allen.
It was
kind of like a man on the street thing. He had regulars that he'd go to and ask him questions. It was just hilarious. He was a very creative man. And I was very fortunate to have Steve Allen on the program here.
Wow, that's cool. Right
before he was killed, and I believe he was killed in a car crash. He did die in a car crash. I think it was more than an accident. But anyway, why? Because he knew. He figured it all out. He knew the game, and he was very serious on the program.
That's what happens if you know too much.
And he's too powerful, too popular. And, yeah, anyway, all too true. When you get in the way, they broom you out the door or worse. And anyway. All right, how are you? What's going on?
They destroy your reputation, and if they can't do that, they just outright
destroy you.
Murder you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah,
and that's not,
I want to tell you first, because all your audience seems so interested in this, and they should be. I have three new pieces on fenbendazole that I've added to the list that I have at home. So if they want to email me, I'll send them the new list, because I just keep adding things as they come in.
Yeah. Send them to me. I'll put them on my Master Kelly Nelson list.
I've already done that, but I add stuff that you can't put on your web too. So if they want it, they can just email me. But here's the thing that really tells the facts of fenbend, and it works so effectively in cancer treatments, but especially when you take it with specific vitamins. And what it does is it destroys the cancer cells by interrupting their sugar uptake. That's why Joe Tippins, who cured his death cancer, I mean, had it all over his body.
He was on the way out. He was gone.
Yeah, he was a foodie. And he kept eating everything that he wanted to eat, sugar, chips, mm-hmm. all the stuff that, you know, you're not supposed to eat. And it still cured his cancers, and he's been clean for 7 years now. He's going out and playing golf every Friday. So here's the thing that he said and that other people have found out, that we all know it displays powerful anti-tumor properties. But if you add these vitamins, it gives it a super boost. And this is what Joe Tippins did. Vitamin E, vitamin B, D as in David, K, and A. That's what you want to add. And in this paper that I keep, I have the protocol. So you can just click on everything and find the protocol and just follow it. Well, E has potent anti-metastatic and tumor effects. So, and vitamin B and dietary folate successfully reduces colorectal cancer. So you need to add these things to give the fenbend a special boost, because most people that have taken this have 3 months to live, and it's all over their body, like it was with Joe. So that's
but Joe didn't.
One
let
thing.
Me just hold on. Joe did not have post bioweapon injection turbo
no.
cancer.
He no.
had it naturally all over the place. And my question
yeah.
Is there any data coming in of people who have been injected once, twice, thrice, whatever, with turbo cancer, like you're get evaluated and all of a sudden you've got stage four? Is it working with turbo cancers,
yes.
which I believe are having a field day because you've got no immunological competence
yeah, yeah,
left?
Yeah, okay. Here's one personal story. I have this dear friend, her husband, very famous man in business, very, very, very wealthy. She called me and said, oh, we've taken the first two injections. I thought, oh, no. And I said, honey, those things are bad. You should, oh, no, they'll be fine. I'll be fine. And uh-huh. then she got COVID after the third shot, I think.
Guaranteed.
And, yeah. Yes, and she said to me, well, it wouldn't have been so bad if it would have been worse if I hadn't had. And I thought, oh, you're still following the lies. Okay.
Yeah, here's a quickie.
So,
hold on. Here's a quickie. Wait. Here's a quickie. We've read more than a few accounts of people who quote that their dying relative, lover, sibling said, if I'd only had my booster, I wouldn't
right.
be sick like this. Anyway, go
okay.
ahead. I hear that.
That's yeah, such yeah. a joke. Okay, so she called me, and she said, I don't want you to tell anybody this. I haven't even told my children yet, but I have a very aggressive breast cancer. And she said they found it early, so they're just doing taking the cancer out, not taking the breast off.
Lumps.
And then I'm doing chemo and radiation. And
she said how
yes,
many shots?
Three. She said, yes, you were absolutely right, because some of these doctors that I have told me the truth. Okay, that's fine. I said, all right, honey, I'm going to send you something, and I want you to get on this right now. And I don't want you to tell your doctor. And what I want you to do is take one of these and the vitamins every day, even if you have to open everything and sprinkle it on something in order to get it down if the chemo is making you sick. This is what I want you to. So this is what she did. Okay, so the months go by with all this treatment. She's taken all this stuff, and she calls me, oh, maybe 3-4 weeks ago, and she said, do you know what? My doctor said, you're not only rid of this cancer, there isn't a cancer cell in your body. I don't know why this works so well for you, but you are cancer-free. You are fine.
Mm-hmm. Does she realize that the universe has smiled on her?
Yes, she knows.
I hope. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's a great story.
Yeah.
Thank you for
So there you have one. Now I'll tell you another one. The guy next door wouldn't listen to me. His wife wouldn't listen to me because she works in a medical office, not as
all,
a medical
right?
person, but in, you know, the office stuff. And I took all of this. I printed everything out. I took it over to them next door. And I said, please read this. This guy, it took him 8 months to find out that this guy had cancer in his lung, okay? 8 months. They thought it was pneumonia.
That sounds like negligence. That sounds
honest to God, I think it's purposeful. And he's only in his 50s, though, okay? So, okay, I walked over there and I said to him one day, I said, you realize now that they are actually putting fenbendazole in the chemo treatments. I told you about this last time.
Yeah.
He said, what's that? And I said, you didn't read anything that I gave you, did you?
Well,
I glanced at it.
Oh,
okay.
Bullshit. No, no.
Yeah.
No.
He didn't. They threw it away because, you know, the doctors know better than a neighbor, surely,
well,
right?
She works in the health industry. She knows it all. There you go,
yeah,
right there.
That's it. So, okay, last Thursday, they broke the ribs, and they went in and took the lung out. So now he only has one lung. And up until that surgery, the man kept smoking. Oh, God.
Oh, well,
so,
next.
You know. Next, exactly. Okay, so here's another one. Johns Hopkins. Did you see this one I sent you? Johns Hopkins study, antiparasitic drug slows pancreatic cancer in mice. Well, you know what? If MD Anderson has known about this since 2002, you know bloody well these Northeast places. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for Mayo, Johns Hopkins, several of the other ones.
I couldn't agree more.
They're all bought and paid for by Big Pharma.
Yes.
I ignore them. But the fact that they even put that out, to me, is incredible. And if you'll notice, if you go into Amazon to order the 222 milligram, only 10 left.
Well, I don't know if that's true. That may be that batch. I hope not.
For a particular batch, it is. But, okay, now here's another one that is really, it was put up by one of the guys who has a Substack, and it's called Petmectin, pharmaceutical grade pure ivermectin. I gave you that one, too. This has tons of excellent information and links and statistics, everything. It's really good. So I would really urge people to check that one out, too. And they tell you, again, in this article, they tell you new and improved Joe Tippin's protocol. So all of this is in the page that I'm keeping in my archives and that I add to every time something new comes up. So there you have it. I mean, there is hope. Don't ever let the medical industry tell you there isn't hope, because there's more natural things out there.
Somebody wrote me an email trying to excuse doctors because they're just creatures of habit. They have to do what they're taught in school, and they rely on their training to address the needs of their patients, and therefore they're not accountable for not. What this guy was giving him a pass for everything that they're doing out of sheer negligence, because they're not following the data after nearly 4 years, and they don't know that remdesivir is a killer or an alleged killer. That's one of the biggest non-secrets in this whole health industry. And these,
not only that, but when you have any respiratory disease, you don't lay people down in a bed. You sit them
up. Keep them upright. beat on their backs, whatever.
And they killed them on purpose because everyone that died, they made another 39K.
They were paid.
This was all about money.
Murder. Paid murder.
Absolutely, it was.
Compensated all the way. And I don't give those bastards a pass for one second. Never.
No, neither do I. And I'll tell you, Vera Sharov in her Never Again is now global. She had 5 one-hour videos, fabulous videos, and she told on one of them that they had the documentation that proved that both the UK and the USA were told that anyone that's elderly or medically or physically disabled was to die. That's it.
They said it straight away. Interesting, yeah. Well, no, we're not surprised.
No, why should we... Why should we be surprised? You know, here we had plenty of what we needed, and there were quite a few people that came to us and said, I have so-and-so in the hospital, or my neighbor has her so-and-so in the hospital, blah, blah, blah. Right. So we just passed out things that we knew would help. And in our hospitals here, you could still get in the hospital if you were the spouse or family member, okay? They didn't prohibit people like they did in New York and the other big cities. Because, and I know this for a fact because I fell and broke a hip in June of 2020, and my husband was there every day with me for, I only stayed 2 nights, but he was allowed to come in. So anyway, this stuff saved a lot of people. And they had to visit a couple times a day, but before they went on those, what do you call them, the things they put everybody on, the tubes down the throat that killed you.
Vent.
Before they put them on that, if you got to them with the proper stuff, it was pretty good.
Yeah, you could. They were most people who died on ventilators were salvageable. They were put there through protocols and procedures designed to kill. There's no other way to look at it. There's no other honest way to look at it.
Let me tell you, a lot of them didn't have COVID. They had
They didn't.
And they had the flu. Had bacterial pneumonia.
You got it. Antibiotics should have been the first thing they did. And now you're telling me they can't culture sputum for bacteria? Give me a break. Come on.
Well,
I just don't buy any of it.
The quickest way to heal this stuff was azithromycin, prednisone, and ivermectin. That was the kicker.
I would add Allicin C because it is at least as effective as any pharmacologically produced antibiotic, and it will not destroy your entire digestive bacterial colony.
Well, I'll tell you, azithromycin doesn't have those properties like some of the systemic things that.
I've read that. I understand. I do.
Yeah.
I don't know
it's for upper respiratory illnesses, sinus infections, you know, all that kind of thing. And I just keep plenty of it on hand because, honestly, that is... That and prednisone, because prednisone is an anti-inflammatory. Even some of these dissident doctors said every time I gave people high doses of prednisone, that the inflammation in those lungs went down and I could save their lives. But not in these hospitals with the protocols from the CDC and the FDA. Oh, no, that wasn't allowed.
Look, this is where we've actually just watched and are still watching organized mass murder of American citizens. Do you all understand that? I think most of you do. You're regulars and you get it. And the same things are going on in your country, wherever you are in the world. In all likelihood, you're under the same rubric of death, organized, institutionalized death. It's called genocide, population reduction. You're right.
Yeah, that's on the cover of the next New American magazine that comes out is depopulation.
Good. Yeah. Good. Well, you know, here's the downside.
Out.
Here's the downside. It's great that it's getting out there, but Kelly, they've already gotten the death shots into.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
about 275 to 290 million Americans. 700 million shots into 325 million people. Now, maybe 20% didn't take the shot, so figure 80%.
Oh, I don't think it's that much. I think over 90% of the people took them.
Well, I'm trying to be conservative because I don't have any real hard data to lean on. But I agree with you. I think, I'll go further, and I've said this, I think we have lost 10% of our population to these bioweapons and the bioweapon virus just in the last 4 years. I don't think the average person would notice if there's 1 out of 10 people missing outside when you're out and about shopping and so forth over a four-year period. You're not going to notice.
No, they don't. They don't notice. And I said to a friend of mine, I said, Joe, already we know 1 million people are dead in America.
Correct.
From
that. Multiply
from
that by 10
shot.
Minimum. Multiply it by
okay.
10 minimum.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, so he says to me, well, I haven't seen anything here. I said, you haven't seen anything because we have 330 million people in this country. And it's not affecting you close. Do you know anybody that's died? He said, yeah, a few. I said, well, there you have it. You add up all those few's that everybody knows, and you've got over 1 million people.
How many have died, and on their death certificate, it has anything but COVID vax injection? Anything. They've got 100 things they can put on the death certificate, so it will never be recognized as a COVID execution.
Well, just about all of them in the hospital were COVID in order to collect the money. So
on that basis, that's traceable, but good luck getting that documentation.
But it's all false anyway, because, you know, they do flu every year. There's good, how many thousands
we
and
saw
thousands
the flu case
flu.
Number went down
no
to next
flu.
To zero. No,
yeah.
So of course there's flu.
Yeah,
so the,
yeah.
Anyway, it's so obvious, and anybody trying to excuse the medical establishment, I'm sorry, but you're really living in a vacuum, and I'm being polite. That is asinine. These people know exactly what's going on, most of them.
Well, here's another reason you shouldn't trust these doctors and why Joe Tippins did what he did. He never told his doctor until the end because he was even in one of those studies, and there were, 1,100 people in it, and he was the only one whose cancer was gone. So that's so when his
cancer the only one out of 1,100?
Yes, the only one, yes. So he told his doctor, and his doctor believed him. Actually, his doctor has backed him up. However, I have another friend who took these shots in Chicago. Spent a year and a half fighting breast cancer. Yeah. Surgery, poison, burn, you know, everything. All of it. And I sent her all of this, and I just recently sent her even more, and I said, look at this. What does she write back to me? I'll take this to my doctor. And she writes back a few days later after her doctor, the doctor says it needs more studies. And I thought, oh, you dipwad.
Oh, you're being very polite. That's sad. These people are literally opting to commit suicide with that kind of thinking or logic.
Yeah.
You don't trust these people
and
who are behind the whole thing.
It's
terribly
frustrating.
Oh, it's heartbreaking. Come on. If you care about these people and they won't listen to you, that's just awful. Awful.
Well,
awful.
I think tomorrow the guy next door is coming home, but my husband said, I will lay you odds that he will go back to smoking because 5 days is not enough to get it out of your system.
Oh, no. He's got residual nicotine for years stored up, probably, in his body
cells. It takes a year to 2 years for the desire to even pass. And I said, you know, I know what works. Round toothpicks. Because there's an oral gratification with those things, too. So I told him, buy a bunch of round toothpicks, keep them in your car. Every time you get an itch, just stick one of those round. I have told so many people who were quitting smoking that, and all of them have said it works. It absolutely works. you can't have any cigarettes in your house, ever. Or your car, nowhere.
That.
But if
a regular
have,
little round,
well,
a regular
not
little
the,
round.
Not the square ones, because they chip off, but the round ones.
Yeah.
And you just keep it in your mouth. You ever see old farmers running around with toothpaste?
Oh, it's sticking a cigarette pacifier in your mouth. Okay.
Absolutely, that's what it is. That's what it is. And after some people, it took a couple of years, but most people, by the end of a year, they're off the, they don't bother, they don't have the pang or the urge. And they might get it once in a blue moon, but it has started to where they can't stand the smell. And once that comes, you're pretty safe.
Where'd you hear that? Where'd you learn that? You remember?
Oh, God.
Round toothpick. So they can just, see, it gives them the oral gratification. They got something going on orally. Okay.
You know what? I think it was a girlfriend of mine that was afraid of getting fat. Yeah, it was. And she had been told to get just lozenges to suck on all the time. And she said, I'm not doing that. She's the one that told me that she used round toothpicks.
Well, that's a real, all of you out there listening, if you know any smokers trying to get off, that's worth a try.
Yeah.
Somebody ought to figure out if there was some, I don't like the idea of chemicals at all, but if there was something that they could put, they could soak those round toothpicks in to make it even more effective. I don't know what that would be, so don't.
Well, you don't want any nicotine in your body, you know?
No, I'm not thinking nicotine. I'm thinking something else, but I don't know what it would be.
But, you know, years and years ago, my grandfather, who was a farmer, and his two sons, they all smoked, but they only smoked after, they had a cigarette after main meal at noon, okay? Or maybe one after supper, but it was very minimal. And it was not addictive because it didn't have all these additives that were put in not only the tobacco, but on the papers that made them far more addictive.
Yes. You know how many, and that, by the way, the paper is completely unregulated.
That's
from
right.
Chemical additions. There are, by one account, I can't prove this, but I would suspect it's possible, there are over 1,000 different toxins, chemicals, unknown chemicals, and compounds in the paper of cigarettes. And if you think they haven't gotten in there with both feet to make those cigarettes even more addictive with that, you're not thinking.
You know who wrote a monograph on that years and years ago? And I even spoke to him about it because I wanted to write an article on it. And I can't remember the guy's name, but I have his book in here, if I can find it. Dr. John Coleman. He's the one that wrote the monograph and exposed every single thing that was in that paper. And
John
how
Coleman.
They've added more and more over the years.
Yeah. John Coleman is a very good friend of mine. He's still alive, I understand. He's in his 90s. I wish I could get in touch with him. He used to be on the program a lot, and we talked
well,
a lot off
Well, he was an excellent
air.
Researcher.
Well, he spent 3 years in the British Museum or something, at the library. One of the, it's a library.
Yeah, and I just got angry at him because he changed his Committee of 300 book, I don't know how many times, but he took out things that were extremely important that exposed some of these false Christian leaders. And I said, why the hell did you take that out?
Did you talk to him?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. And what did he say?
I don't remember what his excuse was.
He should never have done that. I didn't know that. You got to find an original copy of it then if you can.
Well, I have an original, but the new ones that came out did not hold the same things, and I was very disappointed because I had purchased them for somebody else. And I thought, you know, there's so much good stuff in this. Why would you remove this stuff? It was about Pat Robertson. And you know Pat Robertson, he was always a con, really.
I know.
And I said, why would you take that out? I think he said something like he didn't feel it was that important. And I said, you don't have any idea how infiltrated all these churches are and the schmutz that's put out on TV by these guys. Oh, yeah. We needed that.
Yeah, no? That's too bad. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I know John was sick. He was really sick for a while, and I think he got better. But I don't know what he's up to now. That's a very important thing, though, you just mentioned. That should be in the book. Absolutely.
Well, after, you know, once you get in your 90s, it's not as easy as it once was. I still have quite a few of his monographs that I saved because...
See, people don't remember he wrote monographs, and I do.
Oh, yeah,
and
the monographs were the best part.
Yes. No, these are... legendary pieces that he wrote. Really, they're that good. And you can't, I don't know if you can get them all published together now or you look for an individual.
I don't know. I doubt it.
But he was a terrific writer. A monograph, for those of you who don't know, is just an essay form on a topic.
Yeah.
It's short, relatively short.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it could be 5 to 50 pages, but
that's right.
It was just a whole subject. It was dedicated to one particular subject. And they were really good. I really enjoyed them.
I used to push them on the program when he'd come on. They were excellent. Oh, no.
Yeah.
He
well,
a good man.
You know, there's a lot of things that have gone by the wayside that I still have. I bet Charlotte talked about the Christian conscience on your program from way back when.
I would
that.
Yeah,
that
I can't remember.
Sarah Leslie printed that, and Charlotte a lot of times wrote articles that were. I have all of those in my bookshelf, and they are still pertinent to today. They are the articles. I mean, here's one I just pulled out: Parental Rights and Responsibilities Act.
Right.
That is still going on today. They're trying to shove this down our throats in the federal legislature, like they would be able to cover everything that God gives us as parents. No, they're going to stick their noses in it, and they're going to end up taking the children even more so than they are now. But there it is. That's from way back in the 80s. We were fighting this.
If you want me to post those, I will be happy to under her.
They're magnificent.
She's got a section on the left-hand side of the homepage. At the bottom, I try and keep our lost wizards on the homepage.
Yeah, and there's quite
people.
A few of them. Yeah, she had so many. Separation of school and state. I mean, that's an oldie. But
that woman had Kelly. Honest to God, that woman. There was nothing she couldn't speak intelligently about.
Uh huh. Change agents. How about that one? She knew real well about that one. You know, the cannibals in the Republic of China. That's one you've not heard about before. Yeah. All these
cannibals
old
in the Republic of China. Wow. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Now she was a Renaissance woman for sure. I got an email
her
here.
And
please
Sarah
get
Leslie.
Kelly. Please ask Kelly to give us the link to the newest Fen Ben article she just mentioned.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I can't
send it to me and I'll send them out. If you want, or whatever.
Or they can email me. Just tell them to email me, and I'll send them the whole page with all of it in it.
Email me, and I'll send it to Kelly. We don't want to give her address out here. Just send it to Contact Rents. That's our address on the homepage. You'll see it at the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah. Then I'll send it to him, because you can't read off a string of,
No. All right,
it's
you mentioned
too difficult.
Michelle Leslie? Was that it?
No, Sarah Leslie. Sarah Leslie was the editor for her 1999 book, you know, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America.
That's right.
Yeah.
That was not a
yeah,
book.
I'm
that
still
was a,
in contact with Sarah, and every time I find... Oh, there's this guy named Clay Clark, and he's on everything, and I cannot stand him. And I wrote to Sarah. This is what I do all the time. Sarah knows everything. I'm not kidding. This woman has research from 60 years ago, and all of it she saved. I never saved all of it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I wrote her about Clay. This is off the subject, but I wrote her about Clay Clark. I said, I don't like this guy. There's something creepy about him. So she sent me the covers of his book, and she said, well, just look at the covers of his book, and then you'll know what he is. Oh, my God, they're horrific. So I sent that to Mike Flynn because he had been on Clay Clark's show, and I sent it to him, and I said, you better beware of this guy. He said, oh, my heaven. He said, thanks for alerting me. But, you know.
What's Flynn doing now? What are his thoughts?
Well, you know, he just had Mike Flynn movie out. You know, right?
He traveled.
There was a big bus, and it had Flynn movie on it, and they went all over America, and they showed the film, and Mike would then speak and say, look, we're losing our country. If this could happen to me after spending 33 years in the service of this country, it can happen to any of you. You know,
exactly.
Wake up, people. And I bought the two-hour video, and Larry, it was a movie, and Larry and I sat and watched it, and we couldn't take our eyes off of it, even though I knew most of it. And he said, he wrote me, and he said, watch it. I want to know what you think of it. I think it's free on Amazon now, so people could go in and get it if they've got Amazon Prime and get it free. Anyway, it's really good. And he spent 2 months traveling, and doing all this, and I guess, see, nobody would publish a book if he wrote the story about this. No one would do it. I kept sending him people at publishing companies. They wouldn't do it. So this was a grand idea, and a lot of wonderful people helped him, okay? Really, it's very good. I just sent my copy up to my friends in Great Neck, New York, so they could get together and watch it. But I'll tell you another thing that I just did, because I'm writing this article, the one that came out today, and then there will be another one. The one that came out today, and this concerns Mike Flynn as well, the title is The Culmination of Marxist Infiltration, Intel Agency Transformation. And all of this came out of Gramsci, however you pronounce it, Antonio Gramsci, and members of the Frankfurt School out of Germany. Okay? It's all communism. And it's all over, and Intel is totally owned. But what is happening is there is something called, it's TIP, Transition Integrity something. I can't think of it. Transition Integrity Project. And it was started by a red diaper baby by the name of Rosa Brooks, who is a law professor at Georgetown University and a former Pentagon senior official, okay? And a fellow by the name of Nils Gilman, a former vice chancellor of the University of California, Berkeley. And the Transition Integrity Project was started in late 2019. Here's the other participants in this. Uh-huh. Michael Steele, no good, Nick, John Podesta, Jennifer Granholm, Trey Grayson, Donna Brazile, William Crystal, Edward Luce, Max Boot, David Frum. Mm-hmm.
Donna Brazile. I could have gone another 10 years without hearing that name again.
And it's a 501c3. Well, let me tell you what is so bloody interesting about this is that they checked the 2020. They did a program to see what would happen with the people in America if the results were that Trump won or Biden won. Well, what they came up with was that if Biden won, the country would be calm and smooth. But of course, if Trump won, there would be violence in the streets fires and death and all kinds of stuff. So basically, they were telling you, you better not vote for him or America will end, right? Yeah, that's kind of what they were all about. The point is, there were only a couple of guys that came out of the FBI and told the truth of what was going on. And what's going on in there is all of this DEI and all of the critical thinking, you know, this critical theory stuff.
Yeah.
It was first an EO by Obama for diversity, diversity, inclusion, et cetera,
Yeah.
Okay. That was the EO, that it was to be in all of the intelligence. But now it's in all of the government, all of the people working in the government. It is nothing more than BlackRock's wokeness. That's exactly what it is. But had Trump not left the White House, they had planned to use the military and purposely remove him.
Yeah.
Now, what's coming up in 24? Nobody really understands that this is still going on, and now they've become much more public than they were back in 2016. This Rosa Brooks, two weeks after the election of Trump, she stated, this is a law professor at Georgetown University, she stated, we have to find some way to remove him. Listen, this is a 1917 Russian coup they are planning, a revolution, Yes, they have this whole damn thing planned out. I bought the book by J. Michael Waller, and Waller has exposed all of this. This book is probably one of the best books I've read in forever. And I watched an interview with him, and I was so disturbed by what he said. And he even stated, you know, I used to think this was tinfoil hat stuff. He said, but it's now, in my mind, it's true. And he was asked, well, what do you think is going to happen? And he said, I don't know. And then he was asked, well, is anybody in the Republican Party doing anything about this? And he started laughing. He said, are you kidding me? Look at Ronna McDaniel. All she had in her cell phone was florists and the big cars to move people around, the limo drivers. She didn't do anything, and nobody else is doing anything. He said, if somebody doesn't get on the ball, this is all going to happen. And he said, I don't know anybody that is. So I was so upset about this after watching this. And I'm the second article, the first one's out today. The second one is all about the Transition Integrity Project and what they plan to do and what they are doing. But I called Mike Flynn and I said, Mike, have you read this book? He said, no. Who's it by? And I told him, he said, I know Waller. I said, well, then you ought to call him up and talk to him and you ought to buy this book. He said, let me ask you one question. Is there anything in the book that tells us what we can do to stop this and to save the country? I said, yes, the last two chapters in the book, but we've got to find people to do it. He said, okay, I'll call Waller and I'll get the book. So that pleased me. And out today, and I got a number of comments from people that were pretty shocked at what's gone on. I mean, when you go back, you realize the commies came here in 1825. Robert Owen started that school in Indiana for socialists, and he spoke to Congress when our founders were still alive, not once, but twice. And then in 1848, for God's sake, you had all the immigrants from Germany that were socialists that had failed in Germany and came here and started it. And then in 1861, you had 13 Marxists in the Union Army as high-ranking officers. And then you go all the way to 1930, and you've got Marxism started in America's public schools.
Excellent research. Very good research.
And then 1950, and they slaughter, literally, his reputation, and then they kill him, Senator McCarthy. Yeah. For telling people the commies are here and they have infiltrated.
Then you go to the 60s, and
you see who? Bill Ayers, Dorn, his wife, and you see all of the weathermen and all of the rest of them, and all of them were taught by the Frankfurt School and Gramsci. There you have it.
Good job. All right, that's Kelly's article. It's under her name and guests. You'll also find it in headlines shortly, and it'll be on her left side columnist position as well. These are all critically important. It is staggering. They did it right in plain view. They didn't hide.
Yeah.
It's just right there.
Yeah.
And now
and
they're
the
just mocking.
Asleep.
They're mocking us now. They're laughing at us.
I'll tell you honestly, I've had people ask me, how many people do you think know what's really going on? I said, well, I don't have to answer that. Just look at how many people put masks on their faces. There's your answer. That's the dumb-downs right there.
I don't know what to think about the future of the American people. I've never seen a quicker, more insidious takedown of what used to be a reasonably competent intellectual society. I think a lot of it has to do with the cell phone screen addiction in general. I really believe
that.
It's taught people to be laid back, reactive, not proactive, reactive to stimuli. Pavlov would be howling. Edward L. Bernays would be howling. They couldn't believe it. The success of this thing is through the roof. Total.
Charlotte wrote about that over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody listened.
No, we talked about it for years and years, and she was so eloquent about it. She's correct. No, you go for the school district, and you own the future right there. When you control the mainstream media, you own the present. But when you now own also the alt media, you own it all. Think about it.
These people today, I just took a test on an American citizenship test, and I passed it 100%. I got all the answers. The end result stated that only 30% of the American citizens can answer it. Only 30%.
I believe
that
it. What's the question?
70% are stupid.
Right. Yes.
Okay?
What's the question?
Okay, the other portion of people that come in to take the citizenship test, they still don't know any of this. So you've got all these foreigners walking in here. They know nothing. They're here for the goodies.
Right.
And they're here to kill us. That's really true.
That's absolutely true, and I don't even like to say it, but it's 100% correct.
I mean, when they're letting in all military-age Chinese and Muslims and every other thing from across the border that's selling drugs and child trafficking, what the hell do you expect to happen in this country?
Right.
And now it's the northern border as well.
I know. Look, when we have an alleged administration here as bogus as a $6 bill, and
it's illegitimate.
They're flying hundreds of thousands
of
invaders into this country. The media has normalized highest treason. No one's talking about it. Nobody in the House will dare submit a motion to bring charges of treason against the entire Biden administration and most of Congress. They won't do it. They're cowards. They're sold out, or they're owned, bribed,
they're owned,
blackmailed,
I like Matt Rosendale a lot from Montana.
Yeah.
He had so many death threats when he ran for senator. He's a representative, ran for senator. His wife said, "I can't take this anymore. Just stop it." So he dropped from the senator. It continued. He's leaving the end of the year. And his wife told him,
you are
not staying no matter what. I cannot take anymore. This is what they do to the good guys. And I'm telling you something. There are only 5 to 10 good people in that whole Congress, the entire Congress.
I concur. 5 to 10. I'll go with you all the way. Massey is one. I'd have to
Andy
think
Biggs,
and make a little list.
Eli Crane, Clay Higgins. Oh, there might be Senator Ron Johnson. I like him because he exposed all of
there's
that.
There's one other senator that's okay. I can't remember.
No,
it's not,
there isn't.
It's well,
you
it's
might
certainly
think
not,
there is, but there isn't.
It's not Ron Paul, son. No.
Not Rand. It's not Rand.
No, Rand is a disgrace.
And it's not Mike Lee.
I can't remember who else I thought good. Anyway, I'll take your word on that. I look, you know better than I. Okay. Kelly, thank you. Great job, and goodness knows what will happen between now and next month, but take care of yourself. Say hi to Larry.
I will.
All right.
Okay.
Night.
Okay,
night.
Honey. Bye-bye.
The one and only Kelly Nelson. Okay, we'll be right back. Hang on.